Good morning and welcome to our worship here in St. Paul's. And can I remind you that after the service there will be tea and coffee, unless anyone's going to say there isn't. No, there's going to be tea and coffee, to which everyone is warmly welcome. And if you're visiting this morning, it would be lovely to have the opportunity to meet with you and get to know you. There are two intimations for us this morning. Elders are reminded that communion cards and duties are available for uplift at the back of the church. And the Overseas Committee would like to thank everyone who supported the Vine Trust Coffee Morning on behalf of Sue and Beth Rowlings, who are going to Tanzania in August. And the total raised, including gifted, was £2,037.10. And so let us worship God. Give thanks to the Lord and call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. And so let us sing with rejoicing. In hymn number 124, praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. And so let us come together before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence. And we thank you that you are the Lord who hears our voices. God who is from everlasting to everlasting. The great creator of all things. And yet, gracious Father, you draw near even to us. And in your great love, you are attentive to us. You hear our prayers. You feel with us the pangs of our heart. You know our sorrows and our cares. And you call us to draw near that we might find our rest and our help in you. Father, we praise you, for you are a God of great mercy and love. You are not distant from us, but you are our heavenly Father. And Lord, we worship you in your glory. We give praise to you, who is enthroned in the heavens. But we love you because you are near to us. And you are the one who has given to us the Lord Jesus Christ, even your only Son, he who reigned with you in glory before all ages, the one before whom the angels fell in worship. The one through whom you created the heavens and the earth. And yet you have given him to us. Born as the little baby of Bethlehem. Living as a man among men. Dying in our place upon the cross. Yet raised again in glory and in great power. The one who said, I will be with you always. And the one who is present here with us in this place, our risen Lord and King. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I will be there in the midst of them. So, Father, bless us in our worship. Grant us to know the presence of the living Christ, and give to us open hearts and minds, that we may receive of him. And, Father, in his presence, we bring again those words which he himself taught us to say. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning, boys and girls. You're kind of few this morning, but no matter. I've got something to show you. I've got to come down now. You do not realize how difficult it is coming down those steps with this on. So I will be very careful. Now, this will look a very peculiar thing. But I want to show you something that I think is quite wonderful. But you have to participate and take part. And I want you to tell me, we'll try and make it look a bit tidier. Oh dear, get rid of that string. I want you to tell me whether this ball is going up or going down. Okay? So if you think it's going up, put your hand up. And if you think it's going down, put your hand down. Okay? Is it going up or down? No. Yeah, you're not sure. Isn't that peculiar? We can turn it, we can make it do another thing, we can go the other way. Which isn't very exciting in comparison, but there we are. Is it going up now? Staying in exactly the same place. It just looks as if it goes up and down. Well, there it goes. It's going up. And then it's going down. But it's not. It's very strange. Appearances don't always reflect what is true and real. And that looks as if it's going up and down. But it's not. And sometimes in our life, appearances don't always reflect what is true and real. And you can see some things and you think, that's wonderful, that's really great, and I would really love to do that. And then you discover it wasn't really good at all. Sometimes if you're watching other children and you'll see them doing things, you might watch grown-ups and they do things, and you think, that would be really good to do. I would like to do that. And in reality, what they're doing is not good. It might be telling lies. It might be, will the grown-ups please not listen to this? You will begin to think badly of me. When I was a little boy, there was a fruit shop near us, and Annie, the lady in the fruit shop, kept her potatoes in sacks on the floor of the fruit shop, and potatoes would sometimes fall out the top of the sack. And my friend Johnny would sometimes go in and give the sack a nudge so that more potatoes could fall out. And then he would put them in his pocket. And we would go into a field and light a fire and cook the potatoes. They were the most wonderfully tasting potatoes I have ever had in my life. And I thought this was a really good thing to do. So one day when I was in, Johnny wasn't there, but I knew what to do. I had watched. And I gave the potatoes a nudge and some fell out, and I put a few in my pocket and I turned round and there was a policeman standing in the door. And I thought, I've had it. My mum's going to kill me. Happily, the policeman just went. And I had to put the potatoes back. We have to be careful what we see and what we hear, and not just do what appears to be fun or looks to be good. You have to think, is this ball really going up or really going down? Is that really a good thing to do? Is that the kind of thing that Jesus would be happy with me doing? Because appearance is not always what's real. So we have to be careful. And if you want a shot of that, you can have a shot of that afterwards. Okay? We're going to sing again. We're going to sing again. And we are singing hymn 137, All Things Bright and Beautiful. So we are reading in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10, and reading from verse 46. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He is on his way to the cross. And the disciples do not understand what is happening. A little before this, James and John come, asking that they might have the seats of honour when Jesus comes into his kingdom. They're looking forward, and everything looks as if it will be easy. Jesus will come to Jerusalem and by his power make himself known, and his kingdom will come, and they will reign with him. And then we come to the story of blind Bartimaeus. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted, all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Amen. And may God bless his word to us. And we sing again in hymn number 608, "Spirit of Truth and Grace, come to us in this place, as now, in Jesus' name, God's people gather." And they came to Jericho. Jericho was no little place. The ancient city had been rebuilt by Herod, who built a great fortress on the hill and three glorious palaces for himself. At Jericho, the roads met. The road that comes south from Galilee, the road that comes east from the Jordan, and the road that comes north from the Dead Sea all meet in Jericho and then turn to the west before climbing 5 miles up to Jerusalem. And Jesus has come on that road south from Galilee because he is going to Jerusalem. Beggars always have spots where the traffic is most frequent and people are inclined to be generous, especially those pilgrims who are going up to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus cannot see, so he is begging. And his begging would be triggered by what he heard, by the footsteps, by the sound of passers-by talking, by people gossiping, all the latest news. He cannot see, and his world is full of sounds, full of speaking. And he is a listener. And so Bartimaeus learned about Jesus from what he heard on the streets. The rumors would have circulated about Jesus, about the new superstar rabbi who has appeared in Galilee. He will have heard some of the teaching of Jesus in bits and pieces, perhaps, but enough for him to think about. And he will have heard about his work among the sick and infirm, especially the stories of miraculous healings. They say that Jesus can even make the blind see. And today a great noise is filling the streets. And Bartimaeus hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming near. And so he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the whole crowd begin to rebuke him. This is an important day for the city of Jericho. And Jesus is an honored visitor. And probably the elders have gone out to meet him. There will be a procession to escort Jesus into the city. And this man is beginning to shout. And it's unseemly. And some may be outraged because Bartimaeus is giving Jesus a messianic title. They are shouting Jesus of Nazareth, but he is shouting Jesus, Son of David. And that's outrageous. That's almost blasphemy. But you see, that's something he's heard from the gossiping streets, or something he's come to realize as he meditates on who this Jesus is. Bartimaeus understands this is not just Jesus of Nazareth. This is the Messiah, the promised one. This is the Son of David. And the words that the crowd use are not gentle. We read that they tell him to be quiet. They rebuked him, told him to be quiet. The words that Mark uses are much rougher than that, and they are harsh and cruel. You, shut up! The name Bartimaeus has several meanings. One of the meanings is son of filth. You blind beggar, son of filth, shut up. And as the crowd moves on, pushing and shoving through the narrow streets, a hubbub of noise and confusion, this welcoming procession becomes charged with tension. And yet, despite all of that, Jesus hears the cry. That's quite astonishing. In my younger days, when I did not have better things to do, I would often go to Ibrox, especially for big games. And one or two men are smiling because they know what I'm going to say. The problem of getting in on busy match days, and the crowd are heaving about and everyone's pushing and shoving, and sometimes there's a lot of noise and folk are singing, and multiply that by 10 and that's what's happening in Jericho. And yet Jesus hears the cry of Bartimaeus, the cry for mercy. And Jesus says, call him. And the people who were insulting Bartimaeus are now ordered to shut up themselves and ordered to escort Bartimaeus to an audience with Jesus. I want us to notice first this theme of mercy. Mark stresses that Jesus stops so dramatically because he hears Bartimaeus shout, Son of David, have mercy on me. The focus is on that cry for mercy. And Mark wants to see that in contrast to what has just gone before. That passage about James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who come and say, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. After all, they were disciples. They're entitled to sit with Jesus in the places of honour in his kingdom. And eventually that whole discussion begins to provoke indignation and bickering among the disciples. Who will have the first place? What right are you to have the first place? We cannot explore all of that this morning, but sufficient to say that James and John come with a claim of entitlement. We are your disciples. We have followed you. We deserve this. And Mark sets that beside the call of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus who claims no entitlement, no deserving, simply cries for mercy. Have mercy upon me. Well, maybe he could have claimed some entitlement. He could have said, Son of David, you know how life has been so hard on me. I deserve a break. I shared what I heard of you with the beggars, so don't I deserve something? I proclaimed you a son of David, the Messiah. Doesn't that merit some reward? Bartimaeus could have claimed some deserve it, but he does not claim that he's entitled to anything. Only give me mercy. And Mark wants us to see him as he comes to Jesus with empty hands and opens those hands to Jesus and says, pour in your mercy. And Jesus calls Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus, it says, throwing his cloak aside, jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Mark never wastes any words, the shortest of all the Gospels, but Mark never wastes any words. So these words are not just a rhetorical flourish to give us an impression of his excitement. Mark is wanting us to understand something about Bartimaeus' response. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet. His cloak was probably the only possession that he had in all the world. And when he was begging, people would throw their coins into his cloak. The money was never handed to the beggar. It was always thrown into his cloak. And yet when he hears the call of Jesus, he throws his cloak and all his coins aside. He's surrendering all he has. Nothing else matters. Nothing. But Jesus, who is calling me to himself. Mark's wanting us to see in Bartimaeus what becoming a Christian looks like. The willing surrender of all that we have so that we might follow the Lord Jesus with only a claim for mercy. None of us can come to Jesus if we come dressed in our own righteousness or presenting before him all our good works. He's not interested. But we must come to Jesus like Bartimaeus. Well, we don't sit in a cloak and collect coins, but we do have things we value. Are we ready to let everything go for the sake of Jesus? It's wonderful to have a Saviour who hears over the hubbub and the noise and the busyness and the trouble of this world his people's cries for mercy. Isn't it wonderful that in the midst of your life, whatever is happening round about, whatever the trouble of this world is, above all of that, he will hear your cries for mercy. And he will call you. Do you leave everything behind? Notice Bartimaeus' faith. Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, and Jesus, in his mercy, asks, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus simply says, go. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Well, there's a lot in that little phrase that we could think about. But what I want you to notice this morning is that Jesus is commending Bartimaeus' faith. The faith of one who came with empty hands and asked for mercy and was confidently saying, Jesus, I want to see. Do you have a faith like that? Well, if you want to have a faith like Bartimaeus' faith, can I suggest to you that you do something? Think about how Bartimaeus came to understand and came to have a faith. And then you do the same. You go and sit in the darkness with him at the gates of Jericho, listening to the gossiping of the passers-by, learning about Jesus and thinking about Jesus and discovering that he is the kind of Savior that he has longed to have. That's how Bartimaeus learned all this. So if you want to have that kind of faith, go and sit beside Bartimaeus. Well, you can't. I've been to Jericho. There's no place to sit at the gates. But you can do what Bartimaeus did. You can set your mind to learning more and more about Jesus. You can see him there in the darkness as the people pass and he hears the words and there's the name of Jesus mentioned and he listens to hear a little more of what Jesus has been doing, more about his person, more about his love, more about his grace, more about his life and his teaching. And he begins to put all of these things together and to think about who Jesus is. And you can do that. Not necessarily sitting by the pavement in Jericho, but in your own bedroom, in this congregation, in the services, at the prayer meeting, in little groups. You can set your mind to learning more and more about Jesus by listening to his word, by meditating on the Bible, by letting the Word of God reveal Jesus to you. That's what Paul commends. The Apostle Paul says in his letter to Romans chapter 10 and 17, he tells us and says this is how you get faith. Faith comes, he says, from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. That's how it came to Bartimaeus. That's how it can come to you through the scriptures when we think and we meditate on that word. We begin to discover the kind of Savior Jesus is. And we begin to be like Bartimaeus. We can say to Jesus, have mercy upon me. And we can trust him. We can have faith that he will hear us and bless us because we've come like Bartimaeus to know the kind of Savior that Jesus is. And we're told that Jesus says, your faith has healed you. That Greek word translated as healed is happily ambiguous. It can mean physically healed. It can mean to be made whole. It can mean to be rescued. It can mean to be saved. All of these are true for Bartimaeus. He has a physical healing. But he has an inner healing. He's renewed and filled with meaning and purpose. There's an interesting thing in Mark's telling of this story. Luke tells the story as well, from a slightly different perspective, but he mentions no names. Mark mentions the name. And he mentions the name almost certainly because Bartimaeus was known to the people this gospel is written for. Bartimaeus is known in the church, probably has a prominent place in the church. And all the wee children in the church can run up and say, "Hey, are you the man that Bible reading was about?" And he can say, "Yes, I'm Bartimaeus." Jesus says, "Receive your sight and go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The Greek is simply followed Jesus along the way. Along the way. The whole of the gospel is Jesus who is on his way. On his way to Jerusalem. And the early church were the people who followed the way, who went the way that Jesus goes. And Bartimaeus becomes a disciple. And he follows the way. And may God bless us that we also will hear. And with hands open, go to Jesus for grace and for mercy, learning of him in his word and from his people, so that we may fully trust him. And may we follow Jesus along the way. Amen. May God bless his word to us. And we are going to sing again in hymn number 485, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind." Let us again pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we bring to you our thanksgiving. We thank you for the beautiful singing of the choir. We thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy one with another. We thank you for the joy that we find in this place and for the comfort that strengthens us. Father, we thank you for the beauty of the world in which we live, for our daily bread, for families and for friends. And we thank you, gracious Father, for everything that brings to our mind remembrances of Jesus and of your love. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your goodness. And gracious Father, we would give ourselves to you, even as Bartimaeus gave himself to Jesus. Lord, we have been greatly blessed. So, Lord, may we follow him along the way, that way that led to a cross, but that way which led to an empty tomb. That way which is leading us and bringing us to that great day when Christ will come again in glory and in power. And he will establish his kingdom and gather his people to himself. And we will behold the glory of God. Heavenly Father, help us that we should faithfully go along that way with joy and with thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we bring these our offerings before you, and we ask that you would receive them and receive us also for your service. And Father, hear our prayers for all who are in need this day. We remember the hungry, and we remember the homeless. We remember those who suffer from the violence of others. We remember our world and all its brokenness, so many places where there is sorrow and sadness and weeping and tears. We think especially of the children, children who have nothing to eat, children who are abused, children who are treated almost like slaves. Heavenly Father, we pray for our world. We ask your blessing on all who seek to give aid, to all who go to speak in the name of Christ, to all who work for peace. And Father, as we pray for the world, we pray also for ourselves. We remember our own nation and all its muddle and confusion. Father, you have led us in ages past, but we hardly deserve your leading in these days. We have forgotten you, but Lord, do not abandon us. Give wisdom to those who would lead us, that wise and right and just decisions would be made. And Heavenly Father, be with us and be with our fellowship. And we remember our minister before you, and we pray for Fergus, that he would be deeply conscious of your presence, that he would be encouraged to think on your word, that he would know, gracious Father, your healing grace and power. Father, we thank you for his ministry here, and we pray that by your grace we will enjoy that ministry again. So, Father, strengthen him and encourage him. Give wisdom to his doctors and give to him patience. Let him allow himself to get fully well. And Lord, we remember Gabriel and the boys at this time. Be, Lord, with them and encourage them. Lord, be with all of our congregation who are ill or sick at this time. Father, we remember them before you. Lord, bless them. And bless us, gracious Father, as we go out into another week. Give us grace that we might live for Jesus. Amen. And we sing our final hymn, which is hymn number 462, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God his Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you both now and forevermore.